play the University of Iowa every year. We played them four times. We won one. And Caitlin, I think she scored a lot of points. And I joke with her. I said she only got 134 against us in four games. So that was our contribution to the record.
We are here with another episode of Not Even D2. Definitely got a great, great episode for you guys today, where we talk with Coach Bill Fennelly, who is currently the head coach of Iowa State. He's been there, I think he's going into his 31st year coaching the Cyclones. I think that's like third or fourth of the longest active women's basketball coaches in the country. And him and Gino are the only ones that have been at one school for 30 plus. So that's super big time. But before we get into the episode with Coach Fenn, semester about to start for the both of us. I'm not sure how you feel going into it, so let me hear your thoughts.
Nah, definitely excited, you know, for the semester to start. You know, I'm last year in school, so just trying to end on a good note. And, you know, I'm doing something a little different this year. We're not playing hoops, so my schedule is going to be a little different. How I attack, you know, every day is going to be a little different. But I'm excited to, you know, get back to Utica. Have a lot of friends who are still going to be in the area. My boy Devin Flynn just got hired as strength and conditioning coach of Utica University athletic team. So that's super dope. I'm going to be in the lab with him working out OD. But really, really excited to get back. What about you?
That's fire. Shout out to that boy, Devin. But my semester, I don't know how I'm feeling. I'm kind of nervous, kind of excited. It'll be a different start for me going into grad school at NYU. So everybody knows what type of school that is. I'm excited for it, though. Just got my crib, be in Brooklyn, so that's also fire. But I'm not trying to talk about school, really. I got a trip to Arizona, and then you and I got a few business meetings coming up, so I'm holding off the school talk for a little bit. So let's talk about this episode with Coach Fenn. It's just, like, it was cool hearing how he started Iowa State and how, like, you're seeing the, you know, the lights get shown onto them now. But it's like a quote that I heard yesterday that kind of describes it as like, the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. And from day one, they had to grind. And now, like, Audie Crooks, Iowa State, they're big time, but it's been a process. And shout out to Coach Fenn and his family, because like they've gotten it to that point. So I just wanted to say that real quick before I hear your thoughts regarding this episode.
Nah, that saying, the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. Love that saying. Live by it for sure. But, you know, definitely a great episode with Coach Fenn, bro. He was a great, great guy. I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, he's 31 years at Iowa State, which is crazy. 25 postseason appearances, a pair of Elite Eight run berths, 6 trips to the NCAA Sweet 16. I could keep going, but he's truly a legend, bro. And it was a great conversation. He had great energy. I loved his insight on, you know, him developing bigs like Audie Crooks and his perspective on that. I think a lot of coaches are going to like to hear what he has to say. But definitely a great conversation with him, bro. And I can't wait to rock the Iowa State gear.
Yeah, Coach said he's sending us a little care package. I can't wait for that. Coach, you better not be bluffing on that. We're waiting. But no, like you said, it was just a good conversation overall. He was energetic and he liked what we were asking him. And like you said, we like the insight we got from him. But I'm not like a Big 12 expert or dive super deep into the Big 12. But, and you know, sometimes I might say like a crazy prediction. Sometimes it doesn't go the way I thought. But I seriously, this is going to be my pick going into the year. I think that Iowa State, obviously they have the chance to win the Big 12. But I think that that's my pick for this year's Big 12 is Iowa State Cyclones. Obviously, they're going to get better with another year of Addie Brown and Audie Crooks being on the team. But, like, they got Jada Williams now. And also, I was looking through, like, some of the rosters. Not many teams are bringing back, like, a large part of their roster. Like, he was mentioning they got 8 out of 13 players as juniors. So they're going to be veterans in the game. And we had this conversation in a different episode, but, like, your team goes as far as your best player. Like, what is your best player doing to, like, keep making sure everybody's staying on top of their game? And we had a long conversation about Audie Crooks and, like, how important growth is to her. So she's going to get better. She had a great summer with Team USA, being around unrivaled, all of that. So if she's taking leaps, then everybody else under her is going to take leaps. And then like just seeing how Coach Fenn interacts with them on social media or wherever, whatever the case may be, you could tell like he's an older guy that's kind of still changing with how society and basketball is changing. So overall, I just think Iowa State's a really good program and they got potential to do some big things this next year.
I mean, he got great energy, bro. Like we, like, you know, we've been talking about, so it's not surprising why his players love him and he just has infectious energy. And I think the last point I wanted to add on to the great points you made was just about how the environment of coaches that he's creating, right? Like he's, like he talked about, I don't know exactly where the other coaches that he's had on the staff are now at, if that makes sense. But he talked about, he basically talked about how like he's building an environment where, you know, it's future head coaches in the building. So you love to see that environment too in a college program.
No, 100%. We were talking about how like there's no professional sports in Iowa. And I just find it cool that, like, Coach Fenn's going to talk about it, but I just find it cool that they're not letting their egos get too big for the space. They're still super humble. The aspect of humility is all throughout their program. I saw Audie Crooks was just pitching at, like, the first pitch of a I forgot what game it was, but it was an MLB game. And then Coach Fenn's having, like, meet Coach Fenn at this restaurant today. Like, they're actually superstars in Iowa. So it's just cool to see that they've been, like, through it all, they've been the same. Like, still that humble, like, just going through the grind. So I respect all about that. And we got a business meeting to head into, so we're not going to keep this too long. And let's hear from Coach Fenn. We are here with Coach Fenn. How you doing today, Coach?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Definitely in the presence of a legend right now. Really excited to have you on the pod. What you been up to today, Coach?
Just trying to do some stuff in the office that I've been putting off. You know, coaches don't like to do administrative stuff. So trying to catch up. It's an NCAA shutdown period. So no recruiting today. So it's a good day to catch up and really excited to visit with you guys today.
Awesome. One thing I just want to let you talk about a little family a little bit. I know that's a big part of, you know, Iowa State, the program, but also your life. Obviously, you have some grandchildren, took a little trip with your wife to Chile. Just talk about, you know, your family, what you guys been up to this summer.
Yeah, we're, you know, our Iowa State women's basketball is pretty much a family business. My son Billy works for me. He's married to one of my former players. My wife, everyone calls her the first lady of Iowa State women's basketball. My wife, Deb, we've been married 43 years. And we kind of live this on a daily basis. You know, we have two sons, four grandchildren. So it's a lot of fun. We had a family vacation. As you mentioned, my wife and I went down to Chile for the AmeriCup. Audie Crooks was on the team. So that was a really highlight of the summer for us. But, you know, like a lot of people, if you have grandkids and, you know, you're young guys, but aren't at that stage of your life, obviously, but spent a lot of time watching them play baseball, softball, dance. The dance thing, not as big a fan of probably, but she's really, my granddaughter's really good at it, but those things are so long. Oh my God. But no, it's grandkid stuff, family stuff, and you know, our summer workout. So it's that's pretty much how we operate here. It's a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to another school year getting ready to start here in a couple of weeks.
Nah, those family environments, especially in college, like you love to be a part of stuff like that, because you want to be in a place where you feel like, you know, your teammate, the coach, is someone you can rely on and someone that you trust, just like a family member.
No, absolutely. And I think every coach, I mean, you guys are athletes, and when you got recruited, and everyone talks about a family atmosphere and our culture. And but I think if you came to our place, you'd see a lot of little kids running around. There's kids at practice. My staff's been together a long time. So we're very connected in that way. And, you know, we really want our players They make a great, a big decision to leave home and come to school here. And I think when they come here, you know, they want to be developed as players, as people, and as, you know, the parents are like, okay, are they going to be taken care of? Like you said, it's like, not every day is great. As you know, I mean, you have a bad day on the court, you're homesick, school's not going well. You know, you have a positive interaction with a teammate, something happens and you just want to feel like there's a support system. And we work really hard to do that. And it just so happens with us, it's a lot of family members that are involved in it. And it's worked for us, and probably because of where we live and because of the environment, we don't have, you know, professional basketball or, you know, major league team. So it's so collegiately based, and Iowa's a smaller state. So I think you kind of just inherently, that culture has been created over time.
Nah, like I said, you love to see when you have family dynamics and on a team, because, you know, you're going to produce the best product at that point. But I want to talk some, you know, Iowa State basketball real quick. You know, you guys coming off a 23-12 year, 12-6 in conference last year, right? So you guys have a new season on the horizon. What does next year look like for you guys? And talk about how you've kind of attacked preseason so far.
Yeah, I know. I like our team a lot. We are going to be a very junior laden team. 8 of our 13 players are juniors. One of the things that I think I made a mistake, we're not a huge portal team. I mean, we've pick and choose like a lot of people, but the last 2 years we've been very young. We've started a lot of freshmen, and then they became sophomores. And I think the one thing I noticed was, you know, the maturity of other teams kind of hurt us. So I'm hoping that, you know, a lot of our kids, you know, we could probably start 4 juniors and a senior, 5 juniors. So we're going to be a little older. That helps. A lot of experience with all of them. I think new point guard this year, Jada Williams transferred in from Arizona. You know, we've had the same starting point guard for 5 years. So that Emily Ryan, now Emily's one of our coaches, a graduate assistant. So that's a big thing. But I really like what we got done this summer. I like the way we've gone about it. And I think our kids are excited about getting back to work in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, I expect big things coming from Iowa State next year, especially returning Audie Crooks, who's one of the best players in the country, and her running mate forward, Addie Brown. That's like one of the best front courts in the country. So definitely got, you know, a good roster. Jada Williams is good. But I'm kind of curious, you were saying how like during the summers, you're doing a lot of skill work. So how are you trying to like get freshmen prepared for like the actual college season, if it's not so intense, or how Iowa State's going to be ran throughout the season?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we only had one freshman this year. Well, we have two. One of them literally got here today from Denmark, Freya Jensen. Reese Beatty's from Tennessee. She's our only freshman. So what we did with her was really just try to get her our terminology. We talk a lot about pace and purpose in our workouts. Try and enter, you know, integrate some terminology that she'll get used to. We have a lot of play calls. My staff thinks we have too many, which is probably true. So just trying to teach that stuff, but mainly just how you go about doing your business every day, showing up, learning the pace. That's, as you guys know, the biggest thing is the pace. And, you know, you work hard on Monday. Guess what? You got to work hard on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then the conditioning. I think the other part is the conditioning piece, is making sure they understand, you know, at our level, we're blessed. You know, you have a dietitian, you have a nutritionist, you have strength and conditioning. And so there's a, you know, how do you take care of your body? How do you prepare daily to come back the next day? And I think that's the biggest thing for every freshman. One of the great things the NCAA did was allow freshmen to come on campus, get rid of that first homesick moment and get to work. So overall, I thought, especially Reese, they did a really good job. And I think she showed she can come in and give us some quality time.
Yeah, awesome. I'm definitely – I like what you just said there. Just that adjustment period is always tough for freshmen, but it kind of seems like, you know, you're taking – you understand that it's an adjustment period. So you taking the time, giving her terminology early in the process is going to help her later on in her career and her first initial season. But Ruta mentioned how you guys went 23-12 this past year, made it another appearance into the NCAA tournament. And I'm not trying to dig or throw a slight at you, but you lost in the first round to Michigan. Last year, you guys lost in the round of 32 to Stanford. Both were really, really competitive games. But I'm just kind of curious, like, what your takeaways are after those games and how you plan to, like, get over the hump. Because, you know, year to year, you guys are making it into the tournament. So just talk about that.
No, it's a great point. You know, I think there's a couple things. Number one, when you get in the NCAA tournament, so much of it is about matchups. I've never been big on what your seed line is. It's who do you play? And in the women's game, where do you play? You know, we lost to Stanford in overtime at Stanford. We lost to a good Michigan team that, to be honest with you guys, their style of play was hard for us. They played a lot of five out, and we had a hard time matching up. But I think, you know, for us, hopefully we're older, we've been there, the experience of it. You're not as overwhelmed by the moment. And again, in the women's side, you know, the bigger thing is how do you get to be a home game, get a top 16 seed? Those are things that you work towards, but a lot of it is just the matchups, the timing. You know, like you said, we played really that second, you know, getting to the Sweet 16 from 32 to 16 is such a big moment. You know, they call it the Sweet 16 for a reason. And you're right. Those are the things that you kind of in the back of your mind, like, all right, what can we do? Not just when you get to March, what are we doing leading up to March? Do we need to be more locked into special situations? Do we need to be more locked into our rotations? What we've tried to do is schedule non-conference against more different styles. So, and our league is kind of that way too. We're kind of lucky in that regard. The Big 12, there's a lot of different styles in our league, which helps, but you're always trying to figure out what is it that you know you can substantially do to the next time you're there. You make the play that the other guy made against us the last time.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of interesting because it's like you playing against other teams that play five out or press the whole time, whatever it may be, like that's going to prepare you really for anything that, you know, a team might throw your way. So it's a mark of a great coach.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying. The pressing, you're right. The full court pressing, we don't see a lot of that in college. It's not as much as maybe people think. West Virginia in our league is a pressing team. We've tried to find a non-conference game that fits that. But you're always trying to figure out. And that's the great thing about basketball, unlike football, where you only get 12 chances and, you know, you lose a couple games early, you freak out. Mm-hmm. Basketball-wise, you can do that and – you know, and then we play 18 conference games as well. So we've tried to do that. And then obviously you can try and simulate that in practice. The lucky thing for us is we've really used our male scout team practice players a lot. And, you know, it'd be like, you guys, hey, I need you to press today. I need you to switch every screen today. I need you to, you know, guard Audie this way today. So, that's given us something that really has been important. Our male scout team guys they're the best. And without them, we'd have no chance to be able to do the things that I think we need to do to have long-term success.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching the highlights from your guys' game against Michigan. And like you said, the five-out offense is super hard to guard because they would get downhill and then Jordan Hobbs was out on the three-point line. She can drive it and she can shoot it from the outside. Yep. So I could definitely see what you're saying, but, yeah. I kind of want to talk about Audie Crooks for a little bit. She, like I said, one of the best players, she was all American this year, correct?
She's third team All American. Yep.
Yeah. So, and you can see like her growth, like this is a player that freshman year scored 40 in the tournament. And then this year, like, almost scored 1,000 points, which is crazy. I think she had, like, over 800 in one season. Right. And I just want to hear, like, what it was like recruiting her, because she was crazy dominant in high school. She's from Iowa. I saw the stats, Ruta. She averaged 33-13 her senior year. That's insane. So just talk about recruiting her, but also, like, the growth you've seen from her, because I know she's big on, like, constantly developing and growing as a player.
Yeah, I mean, that's great you made that point, because her word is growth. Like, if you say to her, hey, Audie, you know, what do you think about every day? Actually, she has a little tattoo on her arm that says growth. That's a big thing for her. She is from Algona, Iowa, 2 hours from our campus. She went to a small Catholic school. Probably never played against anyone over 5'10". So it was like a huge jump, you know, to go to college and play against Yoki Lee, who's 6'7", and some of the people you see in college. But I would say this, guys, she was a multi-sport athlete. She was a very good track person, threw the discus, threw the shot, played volleyball. But for a young post player, she has great hands and great feet. And that was a good starting point. Her conditioning has improved dramatically, but she wants to be good. She likes to be coached. She understands her style of play is different than a lot of people. You know, we live in a world now where there's not a lot of true centers in the game. Everyone wants to be, like we talked about, five out and be the Golden State Warriors and shoot threes. And she's always begging me to shoot threes, you know. Coach always says to me, Coach, green light.
I'm like, she can shoot, though. Block,
you can have a green light all night. but she really wants to be good. And I think there's a great sense of pride that, you know, she's from our state. She's got a great personality. She's probably, I'd be shocked if anyone would disagree that she's the most visible, well-known athlete, male, female, on our campus. You know, we're in a state where we went from Caitlin Clark mania to, you know, now Audie Crooks, obviously not to Caitlin's level, but in our state, she is really, really well known and very supported. And I'm looking forward to seeing what she does. She had a really good summer. I think the USA experience was a good one for her to be exposed to a lot of different situations, new coaches, different styles, you know, a lot of really good players. So overall, I think she's really excited about what's ahead.
Nah, I mean, definitely. I'm excited too to watch her play. And, you know, she's a bucket. And I'm just kind of wondering, a lot of coaches I've heard have like trouble developing like post skills or helping their bigs like develop like and finding drills that, you know, really work for them. So how have you approached her development?
No, Rudy, that's a good question. Because we really haven't had a true center like Audie in 20 plus years. So we did a lot. I spent a lot of time talking and looking at Purdue men's basketball. I'm a big Matt Painter fan. And seeing what he did with, you know, with Zach, and he's always got a good big guy. Surrounded by good guards. So we went there. And I told my staff, the you know, Coach Shaven, Coach Dyer, who work with our post players the most, I'm like, you guys need to spend, and this is what, three summers ago now, that's your summer job, is just, you know, go to anyone, anywhere, find out as much information as you can so that we can, you know, sometimes, you know, the post plays, it's really, really easy to teach, but it's also complicated because they got to do things around the basket. You know, teaching Audie to be a screener, teaching her to have the ability to pass out of double teams. The other thing that we paid a lot of attention to and worked with and watched other teams was, okay, do they double on the pass? Do they double on the dribble? Do they front her? Do they just play her one-on-one? We've seen it all. So we've worked really, really hard, and I think that's something that Audie's embraced too. I mean, she's got to do it, so she's got to come in every day with an open mind and be like, all right, let's try this. I mean, she's got a real physical presence, but she, you know, I say only, she's only 6'3". So we get, you know, are we teaching her a jump hook? Are we teaching her, you know, a little step back off the block? So we're just trying to learn angles. And every single day, our players get bored of tears probably, but we work on feeding the post every single day. And so it's not just body getting open. When do we get her the ball? Where do we get her the ball? It's like a quarterback throwing to a receiver. They got to know where, when, and read the defense. And we spent a lot of time on that.
No, that's super interesting. And I appreciate your insight because, you know, like I said, it's definitely tough to, you know, develop and train bigs, but obviously, you know, you're doing a great job with her. But, you know, I want to transition to, you know, kind of your career a little bit because, you know, I read online on the Iowa State website that in 2006, 2007, that you received a lifetime contract with Iowa State. You could tell me if I'm wrong, but I really what I took away from that is that, like, Iowa State has so much trust in you. And I admire that from a college program because really you really don't see that in today's, you know, college landscape. So just talk about the trust that Iowa State has in you and, you know, how you developed a real lifelong connection, obviously, with them.
Yeah, we were very blessed. You know, I've been here next year, it'll be 31 years. We love Iowa State. I'm a native of Iowa. My wife's from Iowa. And when we came here, you know, we didn't really have much of a program, but over time we built it. Consistency, commitment, continuity aren't words that you see a lot in collegiate sports anymore. But I've been really lucky. Great administration from presidents on down. Great support. I think they value. I mean, I understand where women's basketball is in the landscape of every university. Obviously, it's football, it's men's basketball, but we wanted to be, and I think we've become, a very important part of the department, important part of our university, hopefully given Iowa State a real positive branding opportunity on a national level in women's basketball. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Our president, we're going to get a new president. That'll be my fifth president. I've had 7 men's basketball coaches. 4 football coaches. But we've kind of seen it all. But I love Iowa State. I tell people that I was born in Davenport, Iowa, but I tell people I'm from Ames. This is my home. We've loved living here, love being a part of this community, and, you know, God willing, we got a few years left in us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure your contract is till 2027, correct?
Yes.
You don't have to be too specific, but is that something you're looking at, like, as a, you know, like, final contract, or what are we thinking about that?
No. Hopefully, you want to keep me. yeah, I'm working on that right now, but I'm healthy. I love my job. I love coming to work every day. So, no, I don't have any desire to be done. I think I'd drive my wife crazy. I don't know what I would do. I love it here. And as long as we continue to get the amazing support that we've gotten over the years, then, you know, we're going to keep working. And like I said, I think we're in a good spot. I think our league's in a good spot. Obviously, collegiate sports is in a very volatile time. So we'll kind of see how all that goes. But I'm looking forward to what's ahead.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping for the best. Hopefully they take care of you. I know, like Ruta said, they got a lot of trust in you, so I'm assuming they're going to take care of you. But
yeah,
listening to, like, some of the interviews that you've done in the past or reading some articles, you always see the Iowa State way. Like, that's a big part of your program. It kind of describes your culture. I'm not going to say too much about it. I want you to describe it. But right. I know that this is, like, a day-to-day thing in your program. You tell your recruits. You tell your players during practice. It's on some of your guys' boards. So just talk about, like, the Iowa State way, what that means and how, you know, you kind of continue to evolve it. Because I know it's, like, started from the beginning and obviously it's had to evolve to stay present and a part of your everyday life.
Yeah, it is. This is on my notebook every day. There's signs all over the place.
I'm going to take some notes about this too.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it starts with, we get to do this. We don't have to. We're blessed to have this opportunity. We look at it as we want our players, our staff, to have the ability to impact on a daily basis. We only play so many games, but how can you have an impact on other people? We talk a lot here about the attitude of gratitude, embracing the opportunities we have to live out a dream. And every single person, KJ, Ruta, in this building is important. And I tell people, you don't work for me, you work with me. And we want everyone to see value in what they do, how they do it. Everyone's important. Obviously, some people play more, some people score more. There's a head coach, there's an assistant coach, there's head trainer, assistant trainer. But every single person, I want them to go out and feel like, hey, they're representing. You always talk about representing your family, your team, your program, but there's a way to do it every single day. You know, how do you treat people? Like, the example I give everyone is when we get off the bus, I don't care where we are, every single person says thank you to the bus driver. When we're on a charter plane, everyone sits there quietly and lets the flight attendant do their job. It's a lot of, guys, it's a lot of little things, but I'm a really big believer in all those little things add up. And, you know, I want people to view us as, hey, they play the game right, they play hard, but they're the kind of people that I want representing my school, my community. And so, yeah, we talk about it a lot. I do. I spend a crazy amount of time when we recruit talking to players and families about, and maybe part of it is because we are in a smaller town. The athletes here are rock stars. I mean, they're the most famous people. There's no NBA, no Major League Baseball, no NFL. So all of that probably comes together and leads us to hopefully being a real positive impact on our community.
I mean, you want your athletes to walk with grace and humility, right? Because like you said, in the age of NIL, social media, you know, like you said, rock stars at Iowa State, like you don't want your players, like, you know, having a bigger head, you know what I'm saying? You want them to be able to say, you know, thank you for helping me out today. Thank you for keeping us safe, whatever it may be. So it's a tall tale of a great program.
Yeah, you're right, Bruder. And I think the big thing too is I like to tell our kids, you never know who you're going to meet. And you never know the person that could be a benefit to you in the future, whether it's a NIL deal or could be anything. And so I think the idea of being humble, great way to put it, have grace, be appreciative of the people that, like I tell our kids, every single person in our building and our academic staff and our mental health staff and whoever, the fans, every single one of those folks are invested in the players. And, you know, that's something in real life they're not going to have. So be gracious, make the right choices to show the appreciation that those people deserve. And I think, you know, it'll come full circle and you're going to benefit from it.
I mean, talking about grace and humility, though, I saw that. I feel like I saw that straight from when I read your bio on the Iowa State website, because you have a section in your bio that's dedicated to talking about the fan support for Iowa State. And for me, I don't see that. Like, KJ and I look at a lot of bios. We don't see that type of stuff on a lot of coaches' bios, talking about how many fans are coming to the games. And, you know, it's a huge accomplishment for yourself, because from your first year before you got there, there were 733 fans per game, and now it's 10,000. So amazing turnaround. But just talk about, you know, how you turn that fan support into such an important part of your program.
Yeah, thank you, guys. The fans are such a big part of it here, obviously, and we work really hard. Like, every single day when our team is together, I cover three things at the end of our workouts, practice, games: their academic responsibility, being smart with their use of social media, and the fans every day. That's why we do our job. That's why we work so hard. When we first got here, we didn't have a marketing department. Our marketing department was my wife and myself. but I grew up in a family that my father was involved in local politics, and it was all grassroots. I mean, shaking hands one by one, just, you know, please come to the game. Please, like, I felt like I was my dad going, please vote for me, you know, and it's like, come to the game. And I remember I got Gene Smith was the athletic director who hired me. One of the most amazing men I've ever met, just retired as the AD at Ohio State. And I told Gene one time, I was on a radio show or something, and I said, hey, if you come to the games and you don't like it, we'll refund your money. And anybody had a heart attack when I said that. But it was just, and that's the thing, like, I think with women's basketball, I'm sure with you guys doing this and growing in an amazing podcast, is you like the media would say, well, if people start to come, we'll cover it. And I'm like, well, you got to cover it so people will come. So you just got to kind of dig in, and it's not like football. Like right now, guys, if an hour from now they went on the radio or social media and said Iowa State men's basketball is going to have a open scrimmage in an hour, there'd be 5,000 people there. That doesn't happen in our sport. So we just got to keep grinding. I tell people, I tell my staff, I tell our team, marketing and recruiting are like breathing. You do it all the time and you die. And that's what we've done. We've been blessed to have a great fan base, and tried to give them something fun to do in those cold winter nights in Iowa.
Now, you talked about it at the top about like the family business that you guys have. And I heard you say that like when you were first starting, it was your son at a young age doing envelopes and mailing stuff out to fans to get them to support. But the bigger point about women's basketball is a lot of people for a long time have just neglected it. But it's just like, give it an opportunity, and then you'll see it gradually starts to increase. Like, the more people that at least try it, they realize like, oh, this is actually really good. Like, I want to continue to keep watching it. So I got a lot of respect for you and continuing, just dig in, keep grinding and grinding and grinding. But real quick, stay with us while we take a quick break.
All right, we are back. Another episode of Not Even D2 here with Coach Fenn. So, Coach, you're entering, if I'm not mistaken, you're entering your 31st season at Iowa State and 38th overall as a Division I head coach, right? So tenured in the game. And I'm just wondering, you've coached through so many eras of women's basketball, right? What are some of the biggest changes you've seen just in the game? And also, you kind of talked about it before the break, but just the narrative surrounding women's basketball.
Yeah, I think the game itself, guys, I think it's gotten obviously a lot better, a lot more skill. Athleticism is great. Obviously, our game is played below the rim. So I think people who like women's basketball really like, you know, the team concept. You know, it's not just, you know, overall brute strength and dunking on people. And so you have to have an appreciation for it. So I think the skill level has gotten better. The coaching's gotten better. I think the investment by universities has obviously gotten better. Schools view it as something that they want to have good programs, not just the necessity because of Title IX stuff. But obviously, probably the biggest thing that's changed is certainly the social media part of it. The exposure on television, you know, even to the sense now where you can gamble on women's games. I mean, it's crazy what it's, and it seems like it's happened so fast. It really hasn't, but it just seems like in the last 5 to 7 years, you've seen this tremendous growth of interest. The corporate sponsors are seeing value in women's athletics, and you know, you had the soccer and you had the individual, you know, the Serena Williams and you know, individual athletes. And, you know, during the Olympics, it just seems though that, that women's basketball has just really found another niche. And obviously we saw it up close and personal in our state with Caitlin Clark and what Caitlin did, you know, for basketball. And I think the growth of the league. And so it's changed a lot. But I, you know, we still try and figure out, hey, it's still a great game of basketball. You got to pass it, catch it, shoot it, defend it, compete. But I do think guys, and you guys know as a young age, our players are exposed to so many more things, not all positive that than they used to. So we have to spend a lot of time making sure they're okay, making sure that, that they understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and hopefully create a situation where your fan base, again, you know, we're in the entertainment business, and you want to create a situation where, you know, the people who spend their hard-earned money, not, you know, discretionary income is not what it used to be for some families. So, you know, if they're going to spend their money, you want to give them a good show, and hopefully we're doing that.
Yeah. Did you guys play Caitlin Clark at all during her time?
Yeah, we played them 4 times.
Oh, so that was like every – so what
– Yeah, we played the University of Iowa every year. We played them 4 times. We won one. And Caitlin, I think she scored a lot of points. And we don't – And I joked with her. I said she only got 134 against us in 4 games. So that was our contribution to the record.
Really, what I was like, you said you like felt it or you saw it firsthand. What was that like? Just seeing the like instant environment or energy shift, like when Caitlin Clark began on her like track.
It was, I tell you guys, it was amazing. And it kind of exploded. Maybe at the end of her junior year in college, obviously, you know, the logo threes that made Sports Center, Iowa's team got better, they were really, really good. They got to the, you know, national championship game. Then it just transitioned into the WNBA. But I mean, she grew up 30 minutes from us. So, I mean, it was something that our state followed dramatically. And then it became a national phenomenon, really. So she's a phenomenal person, great family. And I think that, you know, what she's done is really special. And hopefully she gets healthy and get back out there playing.
Nah, most definitely hope she gets healthy. I'm just wondering from a fan perspective, Coach, apologies for this, but what is it like scouting against Caitlin Clark? I got to hear this.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you just know there's nothing you can do. I mean, she's going to get her shot off. And the uniqueness, Rude, about her is she plays point guard, so she's got the ball all the time. You know, it's not like she's a wing player or post player. You're denying them the ball. So I think for us, the things that we tried to do was obviously defend her. The two main things we tried to do is don't foul her and limit her assists. Because the games that she completely takes over is she gets 30 points, has 12 assists, and if you get too aggressive, you're going to foul her. And, you know, so that's what we tried to do, was just, hey, keep her in front, contest. She's going to make one. Don't panic. Be really good in special situations, guard her on inbounds plays, late shot clock situations. But yeah, we spent a lot of time watching film, and I don't know that did a whole lot of work. It didn't help a whole lot.
No, that's funny, Coach. Excuse me, I'm not trying to make you sound like a fanboy or anything, but I also saw that you played against UConn this past year, and they were crazy good. So I'm kind of curious about what that was like going against them, because not to give you a slight again, but you guys got beat pretty bad. Paige went crazy. Sarah went crazy. So
yeah.
What was that like?
That was a long night. you know, it was one of those nights that a friend of mine told me a long time ago, we got beat on one call, the call that we made to schedule the game. but they were, and I've known Gino forever. And they made every shot they looked at. I mean, they were going to beat us. We weren't ready for that. But they played great. They shot it better than they did all year. But Paige was Paige. Sarah Strong is just – she's one of those kids that is so much better in person than on video. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, oh, yeah. I coached against Maya Moore, and I thought Maya Moore was great. And then I sat on the bench and coached against her, and I'm like, oh, my God. Sarah Strong was one of those kind of kids. But I told Gino after the game, we played them at the Mohican Sun, and we were leaving after the game, and I saw him, and I said, you're going to win the national championship. And he looked at me like, hey, we're not even any good. I'm like, no, I'm just telling you, they were that good. And they did, and it just it all came together for them. But great team, great program, and yeah, we – that was a long flight, huh?
But you said Paige is better in person. I got to see her in person because I'm in all watching her on video, yeah. So I can only imagine what
when
it's
you
like.
Go, hey, when you go down to NYU, if they come play the Liberty, get over there.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm a Liberty fan too, so that's perfect. But switching topics, I want to talk about the Big 12 a little bit. So you've seen it from the beginning when it was the Big 8, I believe. And yeah. I'm not going to go through the whole history. It'll get people confused and stuff like that. But recently, Texas and Oklahoma, two powerhouses, they left the Big 12. And you guys got Arizona, ASU, Utah, Colorado. So just talk about, like, how it's been seeing the conference evolve a little bit. But also, where you think the Big 12, like, stands amongst the other conferences in the country.
No, great question. I've been in this league so long. Colorado left, now they're back.
Yeah.
I would say this about our league, and I think the example I would give you guys, it was last year in football. Like, our league is really good, but it's very very balanced. We don't have UConn, South Carolina, those kind of teams. We've got a lot of teams that are really good. Like last year, I think we had four football teams. One of them was ours, went 7-2. The balance in our league is really good. We have a lot of different styles now because we go from Arizona, Arizona State to West Virginia, Central Florida. So I like our league. Our league was old last year, so it'll be interesting. We lost a lot of really good players. And we have a few new coaches in the league. Arizona State both got new coaches. BYU got a new coach. So there'll be some newness there. But it's an ultra-competitive league. And like a lot of leagues, it's unbalanced in the sense of you only play three teams twice. So who do you get at home? Who do you get on the road? But and the fan support's really good. But I think it's a league that is a lot of close games. So you got to be really good in close games.
Yeah. I mean, the Big 12 is definitely, like you said, there's not really teams that are just going to be the favorite to win the national championship. Correct. But there's going to be a lot of teams that, all right, if they get in the tournament, they're going to make noise. They're a really good program, good team, good coach leading them. So, yeah. I agree with what you just said.
I think we have a lot of teams, guys, that probably on paper you're looking at going, hey, for sure they can be a Sweet 16 team. And then if they get the right draw, like a K-State last year or something, they could make a push. But, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of teams when the preseason polls come out. You're going to see a lot of Big 12 teams in that 10 to 30 range. Mm-hmm. And who can stay healthy, get hot, and kind of move up as the season goes on.
Yeah. Coach, we got one more question before we get into rapid fire. And this is – I'm really interested to hear this. You've coached over 30 years and you're still hungry, like, for another Big 12 championship or a national championship. But I'm curious, like, what drives you at this point in your career? Like you said earlier, you're not like you're looking for another contract. So what gets you up in the morning? Like, I'm ready to attack today.
Yeah. Great question. First of all, I'm just so blessed to do what I do. I love my job. I'm one of those people that You know, I'm living out a dream here. The big thing for me is, I mean, it sounds silly and small, but it's being around young people every day. You know, being around people like you guys that are enthusiastic, excited. You're working, you're grinding, you're trying to do something, you know, that's hard to do. But it's like, I still believe we can have a positive impact on young people. I still believe that even with all the changes in collegiate sports, some for the best, some for the worst, that we can still do things and help young people grow and become really valued citizens. And I love the competition. I love basketball. I love that every day's different. And I love to be able to do things that so many other, like I'm not a guy that could work in a cubicle 8 to 5 every day. I couldn't do it. You know, I'm not wired that way. But it's the competition and the competition to hopefully help young people grow and really value these 4 to 5 years that are such a big part of their life.
Nah, I mean, 100%, like, great points, Coach. And it's been a great episode with you. We really appreciate your time.
You guys are fantastic. Love it.
Nah, we appreciate you for sure. But like KJ said, we cap off the episodes with rapid fire and starting five. I run rapid fire. So you ready, Coach?
I'm ready, buddy.
All right. So first rapid fire question I have, it's more of a, I'm asking about like a Cyclone tradition, or maybe it's an Iowa tradition where you guys wave at the children's hospital. Is that an Iowa or Iowa
State?
That's
University of Iowa football. Yep.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the first quarter. Mm. The football stadium looks, well, I should say the University of Iowa Children's Hospital looks into the football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So it's arguably one of the greatest collegiate traditions I've ever seen. Mm. And it's really grown.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I see it all the way out here on the East Coast, but I'm wondering if you have a favorite cyclone tradition that you guys do.
Probably the big one for us is when we, two things. When you win, they play Sweet Caroline. They love that. And then when the game gets, you know, important part of the game, I don't know the dance, but they play the Juicy Wiggle. Okay. And they love that. The kids love it. It goes on the Jumbotron. So those are probably the big things. And then, you know, our football team shoots off the cannon when they win. But for basketball, it's Sweet Caroline and the Juicy Wiggle.
Nah, they play I think they play Sweet Caroline after home runs for the Boston Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Facts.
Yep.
Yeah, so I definitely love that song. Next rapid fire question I got for you, Coach. So, you know, I know you've been a part of a lot of legendary games, big games, but is there a game in your memory that kind of stands out, like, wow, like with the fans, with the level, with the play on the court, where you're like, I'll never forget this experience?
Probably the game that most Iowa State fans would point to, the one that pops in my head is, and when we beat UConn in the NCAA tournament back in 1998, it was the only time they've lost in the round of Sweet 16. That game probably put our program on a national map. But probably for us, the more of a selfish one was when we inherited this place, we were so bad, the University of Iowa wouldn't even play us. We were so bad, which is ridiculous because Iowa State, that's a big rival. And probably for me, the first time we beat Iowa, and when I interviewed for the job here, I said our goal is going to be to make sure we have fans in the upper deck at Hilton Coliseum. And that night we did, and we beat Iowa. So personally, that's one that you can probably put that on my tombstone.
That's definitely legendary wins. Last rapid fire question I got for you. So let's say KJ and I are visiting Iowa State. What is the first restaurant that you're taking us to, Coach?
Well, I'm probably going to say Hickory Park.
Okay. What kind of food they got?
It's barbecue.
Ooh.
You get a lot of food. Price is good. And the placemat is the menu of all the ice cream, so save room for ice cream. If you want to go a little fancier, we're going to Aunt Maud's. Okay. Nice. That's our anniversary birthday two famous people like you come to town. So those would be, and then Wallabies is my favorite sports bar in town. Mm. Big Iowa State place. So you're going to be here a couple of days. We'll hit all three.
All right, say that. We're definitely coming to a game. I hope you know that.
You better.
All right. Well, we're going to end this episode with a starting five edition. So as a coach, you're assembling your ideal lineup. And this edition is going to be the best Big 12 players that you've coached against in the last decade. If this is too hard, I could do a different one. But past decade, Big 12 players, build your lineup. And tell me where they played at, too.
Okay. I'm going to go Rory Harmon at point guard, University of Texas. Mm-hmm. Serena Sundell, who played point guard, but I'm going to play her point guard at the wing from Kansas State.
That was recent. That was last year, right?
Yeah, she's good. She's a monster. She was one of my all-time favorites. Ariel Atkins from Texas, left-handed, just a flat-out baller, can shoot it. My big guys are probably going to be Yoki Lee from Kansas State. And let's go Nelissa Smith from Baylor. Could throw Charlie Collier in there from Texas. A lot of Baylor in Texas. I'll tell you a kid that I think she's a New York kid. Played at West Virginia. Might not be in the last decade. I think so. Bria Holmes.
Okay. Bria Holmes.
Look her up.
Definitely go watch her film.
Cooper, man. Oh, so that'd be a good team. And all those guys are really good against us. it's bad when the marketing people put together their highlights for their All-American videos, and we were in all of them. They're scoring on us at will.
We got to change that moving forward, but that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. Definitely appreciate your time. You're a legend. We're big fans, and hopefully you guys have a good season. Good luck.
Thank you, KJ. Thank you, Ruta. You guys are great. Honored to be a part.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.